Do you know what the Father is seeking from you? Do you know what His intention and goal to accomplish in your life actually is? Many times we talk about these issues in different ways and different parts, but there's something brought out in this passage in John 15 today that is amazing in its focus and how it will bring you clarity and understanding the will of God. Some people will say, well, I'd like to know what the will of God is for my life. And you've heard me say before, then begin to read the Word of God for your life. The will of God is revealed in the Word of God. And God speaks through it as we present ourselves to Him. And Jesus in John 15 makes one summary statement, abide in me, declaring the relationship desire that He has for us. And yet it is in the abiding that the purpose Father has for you is going to be accomplished. And so I want you to look at that, because we want to talk about that this morning and next Sunday, Lord willing, to see what He has to say about this intimate relationship as we... This is what it means to present your heart, to have a heart healthy to God. It will result in this kind of a lifestyle. So in John 15, beginning with verse 1, He says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch that does not bear fruit, He takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, He prunes it so that it may bear fruit. More fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, so neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine. You are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him, he bears much fruit, for apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away as a branch and dries up, and they gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. My Father is glorified by this, that you so bear much fruit and so prove to be my disciples. Just as the Father has loved me, I have also loved you. Abide in my love. Friends, you and I are well loved. True? We are well loved. It boggles my mind, and this is actually in next week's sermon, but it just boggles my mind to read that verse again. It says, just as the Father has loved me, I have also loved you. That Jesus Christ loves us just like the Father loves Him. You are well loved. And out of that, all of this direction that He gives, all of this picture that He paints for us, calls us into relationship. Sometimes when we turn to the Word of God, there's a tendency to approach the Word of God and say, okay, here's the rules. What am I supposed to do? I'm going to do this so I can get it right, so God can bless me, so I can experience this. What are the rules? Relationship is what He's looking for. And so He says, I am the true vine. Relationship with Jesus Christ as the true vine, as the source of life, is what will satisfy you. And nothing else will bring that satisfaction. So He identifies both His Father and Himself very clearly. I'm the true vine. There are other sources of life. People have vines, don't they? They have other vines that they're abiding in, where they draw what their nourishment for life is. He says, my Father is the vine dresser. He's the keeper of the vineyard. He's the owner of the vineyard. And he walks through this vineyard. But what? With one purpose. What does he say? Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes it so that it may bear more fruit. When someone is keeping a vineyard, their desire is to do what? It's to see fruit. You don't keep it just to work it. You know, the goal of having the vineyard is to be able to have what? Fruit to eat.
Hmm, that's good.
That's the Father's desire. He says, I want you to live in a relationship with my Son so that the outpouring of his life is manifested in your life. That you become a revelation of that. And so, he says, the goal the Father has for us is fruit. Now, here's the problem. We hear that and we go, okay, I gotta make fruit, No, you don't. You are not commanded to make fruit. Vines don't sweat to make fruit. Trees don't sweat to produce apples. It is the result of the life within that fruit is produced. What you are commanded to do is abide. But understand this, as we talk about this, this is important to understand. Father is pursuing fruitfulness in you. That is a point we need to embrace. Because parts of what he does in our life can at times be quite difficult. Okay? Because he says, every branch that does not bear fruit, he takes away. Now, if you understand working with grapes, I pruned these off of some of mine this morning, that the life of the vine will just go and go. Vines can grow yards and yards long. But if you want it to be fruitful, you have to continually, ruthlessly prune it back. How many of you have ever been through Napa, the vineyards over there, right after they prune? They are not a very pretty bunch of stumps sticking up in the middle of a field. Why? Because somebody has one intention, fruit. They don't care how pretty the leaves are. What they want to do is see fruit. And so he says, when God works in our lives, friends, and he says, I'm looking for fruit. Fruit is big in God's book, is it not? 24 out of 27 books in the New Testament talk about being fruitful in the kingdom. Talk about that. It's again and again. Every one of Paul's epistles talks about bearing fruit for Christ, bearing fruit with Christ, okay? And so when Father comes to a vine, what he's going to look and say, is this branch abiding in the vine? And you know what? This one here, it's not. Take a look. There's no life in that. Now, there may be just a little there. It may be still coming back. But when the owner comes through, he's going to look at this, just like I would, and say, that's coming off of there. See? Because it's not going to have the life. And yet, the interesting thing is that you also, when you're going to prune, have to prune life off that actually works. That this branch will continue to grow. It's alive. It's just getting ready to start coming back. It's already starting to swell here at the buds of the corners. When God comes and works in our lives and says, I want you to bear fruit, are you willing to let the Father prune where he will? Sometimes I find people are struggling greatly in their walk with God because what God has chosen to do has made them uncomfortable with life. Father's working on you to bear fruit. I mean, you look down through this, we're going to see it next week more than this week, but what's the fruit? The fruit is love. That's the fruit of abiding is the love of God. That's produced in your life. But understand this, that God is working on you to bear fruit. How? You see it in verse 3? You are clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Can the word prune your life? Oh my. This is one of the reasons I think some people don't spend regular time in their Bible, because when they got into their Bible had an edge. Have you ever found that out? You get into your Bible, it's got an edge, doesn't it? If you'll let it, it will speak to you. Hebrews 4:12 talks about this in a very specific way. You can read that with me if you'd like. For the word of God is living and active and sharper than a two-edged sword, piercing as far as the division of soul and spirit, of both joints and marrow. It's able to judge the thoughts and the intentions of the heart. Amen? That's the truth of the Word of God. So when I get in there, it's going to show me things. So when the Word of God shows me things, and God says, this needs to go away. Clip, clip. And we say, that was useful. I liked that. That was a part of me. Yes, it was. These branches were a part of the vine in front of my house just an hour ago. But I looked at that and said, that's not where the fruit's going to be born. I need to encourage fruitfulness. I'm going to prune that back. Friends, are you submitted to the vine dresser? Will you trust what he wants to do in your life? You see, you have a God-given purpose in life. What? To be fruitful in Jesus Christ. That he would do something in you that would display the very life of God to others. And that means I have to submit to his correction. I need to let him do a work in me that allows him to be displayed. And he'll come along and take off things that I don't think should go away. It's challenging. But notice what Jesus then says. Here's what Dad's doing, right? And then he says what? Here's how I want you to be relating to me in this whole process. Abide in me and I in you. It says, abide in me and I in you. Abide to dwell, to remain, to reside, depending totally upon. There's a connection. Fruitfulness flows from relationship in Jesus. If you want to bear fruit for God, there has to be a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. There's a life that he wants to bear in you, produce in and through you. The life of a vine is produced where? In the branch. I can cut the branches off and the vine is still very much alive. And it will produce more branches. And so what he says here, he says, what your job is not out here on the end, bear fruit. No, no. He never tells us to do that. What he tells us to do is abide in me. He says, stay in a living, vital connection with me. Now notice something here. When he says, abide in me and I in you, that is not a suggestion. That's a sovereign directive from the Son of God, from the true vine. He says, this you must do. Abide in me. Connection to Christ is commanded. Okay? This is not an option to say, you know, I might want to be connected to Christ today. No. This is, do this now and forever. Be a person depending on God, depending on Jesus Christ in a continual way. Why? Because what does he say in the verse? Apart from me, what? What's that? Can't do very much? Nothing. Nothing's hard on the ego, isn't it? Somebody comes up to you and say, you can do nothing right. Oh, that doesn't sound good to us, right? But he's saying, there is a lack in you to produce life in and of yourself. The life comes up through the vine to the branch. The branch has no roots that's causing it to get life in and of itself. And so it must stay connected to the life source. And so when he says abide, our response to him on a day-to-day basis, on a moment-to-moment, hour-to-hour basis, is going to determine our fruitfulness. But it's also going to determine our relationship. Because that's what leads to fruitfulness. So your response reveals your relationship. Acts 16:31 was a command given, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and what? You will be saved. Okay? If you don't believe, guess what? Have you got that down? We covered that, haven't we? If you don't believe, you won't be saved. Right? We hear that and you don't doubt that. You don't argue with me about that. You say, that's the absolute truth. True?
True.
So is abiding. There is no difference in those truths. It's the same book. So the book that says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you'll be saved, is the same book that says, if you abide in the Christ, you will bear fruit. And apart from the abiding relationship, you will not. And here's the scary thing. You can be alive and not be fruitful. That's the whole discussion of this passage. That you can be alive and not be fruitful. And God is intending to work in your life to cause you to become fruitful. So Jesus says, abide in me. There is to be a humility. Remember we talked about that last week. That apart from humility, you won't experience God's grace. Pride brings God's wrath. But humility brings God's grace. So we can have a grace relationship with Christ by humbling ourselves and saying, I'm not the source of life. You know, you've met people who kind of think that the world revolves around them. Haven't you? And those people, they always irritate you. But it's that idea of saying, when I come to Christ, I have to recognize I cannot bear fruit of myself. Because the life of the branch flows from the vine. He supplies the life. So it's my depending on him. It's my staying connection. So if there is no abiding, then that equals no fruitfulness. If there's abiding, it means there will be fruitfulness. He says, look what he says here in verse 5. I'm the vine, you're the branches. He who abides in me and I in him, he bears much fruit. Oh, that's the encouraging word, friends. He bears much fruit. If you will stay in a dependent, related, connected relationship with Christ, you'll bear fruit. From what? From believing. Remember what we said? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you'll be saved. Friends, don't ever get over the gospel. Okay, that's the old thing. Now let's go on to a new thing. No, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you live out your salvation. Your sanctification flows out of your faith just as much as your salvation flows out of your faith. And so I have to live believing what he declares. And as I respond to what he declares, remember, response reveals relationship, then life is produced in me. Fruit is born in me. In you, as we say yes to God. One of our illustrations this morning, and several of the people who did the assignment said, you know what, when I did what the Word said to do with my spouse, it brought more life into the relationship. Have you found that to be the case? You know, you can neglect that person you're totally in love with, and they won't feel it, and the relationship won't feel it, and you won't experience the fruit. Are you alive? You're still alive. You're just not going to experience the fruit that God intends for that relationship to have. Because that comes back to what? When he told husbands, love your wives? That's a command. The command gives you a chance for a response of faith. When I respond by faith, more life flows out of me into my relationship, blesses my spouse, builds her up. Is this making any sense? Are you following? That's how I bear fruit in my marriage. By obeying, by believing what the book says, I respond to that. When I don't, guess what? It will shrivel. It will dry up. Friends, Just because you made a vow till death do you part doesn't mean you can't die before you're dead. Okay? You got to watch that. You have to take care of the life that you have. So, fruitfulness flows in connection with Christ. And then did you notice both in verse 4 and in verse 5? I'm sure glad I cut this sermon in half last night. No chance we were getting to 11. He says, abide in me and I in you. You see that in verse 4? And in verse 5 he says, I am the vine, you are the branch, and he who abides in me and what? I in him. Do you see that? Now what we're talking about there is that not just that I spend time with Jesus, that's essential. God time is essential for your relationship to thrive. Just like spending time together with any person you're going to be a friend with is essential for that relationship to survive. There has to be some relational connection. But he says his life has to begin being displayed in your life. He says, you abide in me and I in you. And so if there is not coming out of me the demonstration of Jesus, if there is not that submission to him that results in activity in my life, faith without works is dead. There has to be something show up. So he says, let me be, don't just say you're in. Jesus was talking to people and he says, you're clean, but not all of you, he said over here in chapter 13. He's looking at 12 disciples and he says, one of you is not in. But that guy had been out teaching. That guy had been out performing miracles. That guy had been looking very much like he was a branch abiding in the vine. But he was not. And, you know, the physical analogy breaks down a little bit when you start trying to take theological truths out of it. We have to be careful with that. But the idea he's saying here is I need to be in you because apart from me, you can do no thing. Listen, Jesus comes to live inside each one of us when we believe. The very life of the Spirit comes to reside inside of you. Is now, as I say yes to him, as I respond to him, as I depend on him by faith, in whatever relationship, in whatever circumstance, when I choose what the Scripture says, this is what you should do here, do not worry, give thanks. When I choose that response, then his fruit is born. But have you not found situations where you look at the situation and you choose what? You choose worry over thanks. Been there, done that. It pretty much happens at least once, more than once, every week of my life. And yet, when I feel that worry, because it, remember we talked about you can feel it in your heart. That's one of the ways to know what's going on in your heart as you walk with Christ. When you feel it, you can then choose to go back to the abiding. It's a warning that when you feel anxiety in your heart, it's a warning that your heart is moving into abiding in the circumstances rather than abiding in Christ. It's a warning. That's what anxiety does. It just tells you, oh, you're trusting in yourself. Because if Christ is holding my right hand, am I okay? I'm okay. But you'll feel better if you'll hold the hand that Christ is holding you with. Some of you know what I'm talking about. You've had children, you try to walk them across the street. Okay, you tell them, hold my hand, right? Do you hold theirs? Absolutely. And whether they're holding back, you're holding on. That's what Christ does with us, okay? But you'll experience the relationship with more joy and pleasure if you hold back to the rock with Christ. Does that make sense? Okay, now listen. When he says, abide in me, when I share that with you this morning, now you've had truth revealed to you. What are you going to do with that? See, that's the challenge. It's not just to know it. What am I going to do with it? Believing will lead to growing. It will lead to transformation. All right, it leads to repenting. If we don't respond, he says, you're not going to bear fruit. And then in that sixth verse, he brings something up that's awkward. He says, if anyone does not abide in me, if anyone has no connection with me, they're like a branch that's dry. There's no life in that branch at all. And what happens to that branch? He says they gather them up, cast them into the fire, and they're burned. All right? If there's no life in the branch, there's no life. So it's going to be, if a person is not in Christ, there's no life. He's not talking about people being in Christ and then falling out of Christ. That's hard with the branch illustration because it talks about that. But Christ said what? Everyone the Father gives me, I keep. I don't lose a single one. So you come to Christ, you're in Him. But friends, you can look like you're in Him. That's what Jesus was talking about. He had 12 disciples in the room. One of them looked like a branch. One of them had said the right words. One of them had did the right things. And he wasn't in. And so when we speak to an audience even this size, I've got to tell you, just because you put your body in the church doesn't mean your body's in Christ. Just because you said the right words doesn't mean your heart is trusting the Savior. I had a gal tell me one time, I'd been here 10 years. She had been here 26 years in this church. And told me, for 26 years, I pretended. And I believed it was for everybody else before she ever came to faith in Christ. You can pretend. You can look like, you know, put that smile on, share a word here or there. But a true relationship is going to grow by communication. So look what it says in verse 7. This is incredible, incredible promise. Okay? So let's look at it. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish, and it shall be done for you. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. Does that sound big to you? When we read this, let's not walk away from it. You know what I mean? Sometimes the promises of God are so great, we gag. That couldn't really be true. Or we say, I've tried that, didn't happen to me, therefore it makes it what? Oh, it's untrue. This book is what?
True.
You do not judge this book by your experience. Your experience is judged by this book. There are two conditions to this promise, but the promise is true for you if you walk this out with Christ. This promise is true for you. This is maybe the most significant thing I share with you this morning, is that if you abide in Christ and Christ's words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. We have not touched this. I've been in Christ for years and I still feel like I haven't fully plumb this thing. What do you mean? Have you come to the spot where you're doing what he's saying? Are you asking? Now, we ask and don't receive. What does James say is the problem there usually? We ask amiss. Yeah, you check your list. How many things are you asking for? This me. What's he say? If there's an abiding relationship that is also being reflected by his words. Remember, that's what we talked about. The action that's flowing out in obedience from his book, his life. There's that response. So I'm spending time with him. I'm connected daily, intimately with him. And his life is being displayed in me. That's condition number one. You ask whatever you wish, it shall be done. So you abide and he's displayed. Those are those two conditions. He says, you can ask what you wish. How can he say that? Friends, what am I trying to say? That abiding enables bold praying about anything. How can he say that? Because when Christ's life is your desire, what you ask for is what he wants to do. It changes how you pray. It really does. But it's amazing here. He wants us to pray. He says, ask. In fact, if you'll read John, there's a great little abiding assignment for you this week. Read John 13 through 17. All right? This is the upper room discourse that he spends with his disciples. It's one of, to me, one of the richest passages of Scripture. And look and see if you can find it. Seven places in these next those three, four chapters, he makes this promise again. Seven times in his last 24 hours, he tells his disciples, if you'll ask, I'll answer. If you'll ask, I'll answer. And he puts conditions around it. Look over here in chapter 14, verse 13. Whatever you ask in my name, that will I do, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. There's another way of defining abiding in me and me abiding in you. I'm going to do it so that the Father will get the glory. There's a motivational aspect or condition behind it. If you ask me anything, verse 14, in my name, I will do it. There's two right there. You see that? Now, when somebody repeats something a bunch of times, why do they do that? It's true, and they're trying to get a point across. That he wants us praying. Friends, abiders are urged to ask. He wants to what? To bear fruit in your life. That's his desire. That you would be a person who was fruitful. So he says, would you please begin asking that this which I want to do will be produced in you? And so you can do that on any issue that you read in the Word. And he says, do this. This is the most awesome thing you can do for your prayer life. When the book says do, pray. Lord, I want that in my life. See, right here, here's how you can do this. We just read this together. He says, ask. Father, I want to become an abiding asker. Can you pray that to him even right now, just in the quietness of your heart? I want to become an abiding asker. That's the kind of person I want to become. Don't let anything grieve my heart. Don't let anything hold me back. I want to become this kind of person. See, when I read a command and I respond, when it says up here, abide in me, when you hear that, will you say back to him, yes, Lord, I want to become an abider. I want to move beyond any abiding I've ever done to a greater level of abiding. I want a greater level of fruitfulness. See, when you hear the word, if you don't respond, then what's that? See, that's unbelief. Unbelief is going to reduce the flow of the life of the Spirit. It's going to not produce fruit. So we read sometimes large portions of Scripture, but if we don't have a response to the one who's writing, what's the point? You ever had somebody listen to you on the phone? They're listening, they're listening, they're listening, and all of a sudden you say, are you still there? You had that, haven't you? You're not feeling like there's much responsiveness going on. And they can still be there. I mean, sometimes you notice when you hear that. Okay, wait a minute. They're there, but they're not there. Okay? But wait, it's when you hear him speak, there should be a response back. That's what asking is. Asking is talking to the Father about what he's been talking to you about. Remember? He says, my words are abiding in you. So you hear that? Say, oh, Lord, I want to be this. I want to be this. Why don't we ask? We've been disappointed. We're afraid of disappointment. God wouldn't do that for me. Your view of God defines your prayer life. Make sure it matches Scripture. What kind of prayer life do you think Job would have if he measured his view of God based on the circumstances of his life? God was working in his life. What did he say? The Lord gives, the Lord takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Did God prove Job? Oh, my stars. Lose 10 children in a day. Lose all your worldly possessions. Lose your health. Everything pruned out of his life. And he says, I know who he is. He's my redeemer. Though he slay me, yet will I praise him. That's a man who was abiding. Don't interpret the word of God by your experience. Interpret your experience by the word of God. And so we say, Lord, I want this true. Connection with Christ flows from faith. So I have to see God for who he is, affirm who he is, and then respond to that, and it'll produce life in you. What's the Father like? verse 8, my Father is glorified by this, that you bear much fruit, and so prove to be my disciples. Just as the Father has loved me, I have also loved you. Abide in my love. And we won't get there, but over here in 16, he talks about the Father loves you. You can ask for anything. That's one of the promises. You can ask for anything because he loves you. What does he want to do? He wants you to bear fruit. He wants that being produced in your life. Have some fruit. Do you like some fruit? It's all washed. I made sure it was washed. But look, see, he's going for big, see? That's the bold asking. But here's the deal. How does that taste? Is that good? When you abide in Christ, something will flow out of your life that somebody else is going to taste. You see, the vine, the branch does not eat. See, she's going for it. That's called asking. See? See, some of you aren't even asking. You're just watching and you're not partaking. But what am I saying? That the branch doesn't bear fruit for itself. It blesses those around it. Do you follow that? When you and I ask and we let the life of Christ be produced in us, it'll show up in each relationship, and all of a sudden, I'm sweeter in my relationship with Susie. I'm abiding in Christ. It gives me a joy, but she's the one that gets blessed. You need to pray for her because she got to live with me. Okay, so you know what that kind of challenge could be. Well, you really don't, but I do. Believe me, I do. And so, but the neat thing is that, see, here, want some fruit? Got to be sweet to the woman. Okay. The neat thing is, as we make these choices, there's an opportunity for fruit to be born. So what do we mean? Okay. Let me go back to a verse that you know. We all know this one. 1 Thessalonians 5:17. Very simple. You got that one down? How many of you have memorized this verse? Pray without ceasing. Is that true? Okay, that's the command of Scripture. So when you read that, as soon as you read that, what do most of you say? Just go ahead, let's be honest. What do most of you say in your mind? I can't do that. All right? I can't do that. And God said, what? Do that. We say, I can't do that. Now, right there, you have the potential for life or the potential for death. Are you with me still? Because when you hear what the Word of God says, you realize your inadequacy. Apart from Him, I can do nothing. So I can't pray without ceasing apart from Him. So when I see what He asks me to do, right there I've got an opportunity to what? I need to start practicing what it's saying. I need to pray, Lord, how can I do that? Instead of saying, that won't happen. When you let the devil lie to you and say, that won't happen, you dismiss the flow of God in your life. You just cut it off. No, faith says, if He said it, He can do it. I can't do it. He can do it through me. So you say, Lord, I want that to be true of me. Right now this morning, as you look at it, I want that to be true of me. You can say that. And if you want that to be true of you, if you want to keep at that, the next verse, 18 says, you do it how? In everything give thanks, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. If you're not a thankful person, you won't keep talking to the one who's working. So what are you talking about? I've been talking about this idea of abiding. I want to bring it down to a very practical, specific application. 60-60. That you would say, I want to turn my heart, my mind towards God every 60 minutes for the next 60 days. You just try that. I want to turn my heart, my mind towards Christ every 60, that every hour, I can't abide 60 out of 60, but I'm going to get one out of 60. You know what I say? Start where you are. And you can do it by setting an alarm on your watch. If you've got a smartphone, you can set the old alarm on here. I had mine going off in my pocket this morning. You can set the alarm system. It'll go off every 59 minutes. It's going to tell you what happens. When the alarm goes off, this is just using a physical prompter to remind you of what? I made a commitment to seek God. So right there at that moment, when you set off an alarm, all you have to do is say, Lord, fill me. Lord, thank you that you're with me. Thank you that you have a plan for me. How do you want me bearing fruit right now? What would it look like in my life right now? When you begin praying this way, you will find you will reorient your whole life towards the Savior. It will change the way you live. You begin abiding in Him because you're talking to Him throughout the day. All right? One of the ways that Susie and I have used our phones is to bless our marriage. And I know sometimes you can use them to distract yourself from your marriage, but you can use them to bless your marriage. So texting, I can put a sweet word on there without interrupting her, without spending much of my time. I can just put a sweet word on there, and I can give her a word that says, I love you. I'm thinking about you. Looking forward to seeing you. Are you abiding in Him? What are you saying to the one that you're talking to? Think about this. If someone were coming to my office for counseling, and they say, our marriage is a mess. We really need help with this relationship. I say, okay, here's what you're going to need to do. You're going to need to devote yourselves to spending some time together. We really don't want to be doing that. Okay, well, you need to share your heart with each other. You really need to spend some time with communication. Oh, we know everything about each other. We really don't want to do that. What are you noticing already? I'm going to have trouble with this couple, aren't I? I got serious trouble. Some of you, I'm doing marriage counseling right now. Did you just hear what I just gave you for an assignment? You work on that, okay? But what if you aren't willing to spend relational time, you're not going to develop a relationship. When Jesus says, abide in me, what I'm saying is you take your God time, you listen to Him in the Word, first thing in the day, remember, no Bible, no breakfast. You get the Word of God in your life first. Give him some priority in your life and say, I'm going to listen to Him. And then throughout the day, begin conversing with Him. And you just set an alarm. You pick up one of our little beepers out there and say, every hour, Lord, would you just begin to remind me? And you know, to start with, what you're going to find? It'll irritate you. It'll irritate you because you're like, oh, I didn't even think of Him this hour. I can't believe. And you'll find that I'm not abiding very well. But if you don't let that guilt you, if you let that goad you and encourage you back to Christ, you can begin becoming a person who's persevering in Christ, who is abiding in Him throughout the day. And it will change the way you think. It will change the way you act. Because when you do that, what will happen? Fruit will be born in your life. And fruit glorifies the Father. That's what He says. My Father is glorified by this. You bear much fruit. So when I begin to abide, you will see the fruit of that. I guarantee it. How can I guarantee it? Because I'm just reading the book. I'm just guaranteeing what He says. He says, if you'll abide, if you'll ask, I'll work. Is that what it says? So let this happen. I want to invite you into a very specific, bold step here. Friends, abiding in Jesus produces fruitful living and leads to powerful praying. If you will step into this, you have the potential to radically transform your life. I don't care how old you are. I don't care how long you've been a Christian, how short you've been a Christian. If you'll do this, God will work. Listen, remember what I'm saying. This is a response to a person, not a set of rules. Okay? I'm giving you a specific illustration, application of how you can take this to use it so you can get a grip on your mind, which is already running wherever it goes. Remember a couple weeks ago we talked about this idea that you take control of what? Every thought. You take every thought captive. How are you going to do that? You at least got to be turning them back once an hour to the Lord saying, hey, I want to be thinking about this. It will change your life. We are here to grow a family of loving disciples who what? Who celebrate Christ in everything. And I believe it ought to be every hour. Every hour. And when we get together, if you celebrate Christ every hour of the week, when we get together for this hour, it's going to be totally different. Because you're not going to come in dry, oh, please fill me up. You're going to come in full saying, I want to overflow. And there's a whole difference in the worship experience when you come in overflowing as opposed to, give me a drink. Amen. But it's still good to come if you're dry, okay? I'm not faulting that. I'm just saying, fill up so then you'll have something to share with somebody else. Do you know this morning there's somebody around you that needs to be encouraged before you leave today? If something needs to be touched, God's put a love in your heart. He loves you just as much as the Father does. You have adequate love to love somebody. If we touch, if we listen, if we abide in Him, something will happen. So three things I'm talking about today. Number one, submit to the vine dresser. Some of you have been mad about God with something that He's allowed to happen. Okay, I don't know what your view of sovereignty is, but He's in charge. If you're not letting Him prune, not letting Him work in your life, what's going on in your family, what's going on in your place of business, what's going on with your health, can we bring that back and say, I've got a God who's big enough to handle that. I'm going to let Him prune as He will. Or connect to that vine, that you will take the time to spend with Jesus Christ every day, to get into His Word and say, I want to hear what You're saying to me. I want You in me. And then third, ask boldly. Every hour you come back and say, God, would You fill me? Would You just flow through me right now? You're in a situation and you know you're about to share a piece of your mind that you can ill afford to lose. That's the time to pray. Lord, do this. Do this. I want to bless this person. I want to bless this person. Connect with Christ continually. And Christ will bear fruit in you. I guarantee it. Because He guaranteed it. Let's pray. Oh, Father. I'm so thankful for these promises. I'm thankful for these directives. And I just confess, Father, that I wish this congregation had a much better example as a pastor. And I just would pray right now that You would make me an abundant, abiding shepherd. That I wouldn't be the worrier, I'd be the worshiper. And Lord, I'm praying that for my brothers and sisters here, that we'd begin to see the very areas where we have said, no, that's not going to happen, and we've grieved Your Spirit. We've quenched the work that You want to do. We haven't let You come back in. Father, let forgiveness flow in this place. Let obedience flow in this place. Let praise flow in this place. And lift up and exalt Jesus here, because He is our life. Father, I ask for the one who's listening to my voice, who's never taken the first step to believe in You as Savior. Father, open their heart to recognize their need of a Savior. Father, for those who have, and yet sometime long ago, maybe not so far ago, we've drifted off. We've lost that connection. Oh, there's still something coming through, but it's not what it once was. Would You open us up to You and let You flow through us? Father, I'm praying You'd surprise us with this. You'd do a powerful work here beyond what I could ask or think. And I know You can. So before I see it, I'm going to say thank You. Thank You for what You're doing right now, right here this morning. Thank You for how You're going to change us today forever. For the glory of Jesus Christ, I ask it in His name. Amen.